Folks, we want to say thank you to those of you who have contributed to our fundraiser. Remember, WBGO Studios and WBGO On the Air is made possible by member support. You are our lifeblood. We need you during this fundraising season to come through for us, and you can do that securely and quickly online, wbgo.org/support. Learn more and give your tax-deductible contribution right there. And hey, tell them Greg Bryant, the Watchman, sent you. Thank you so much for your support. Are you looking for a new podcast? Make sure to check out our offerings from WBGO Studios, Jazz United, The Checkout, Sports Jam, and The Great Wealth Divide. More information at wbgo.org/studios and subscribe to these shows wherever you get your podcasts. Vocalist Jill Scott said soul is about longevity and reaching and touching people on a human level, and that's never going to get lost. This is the Watchman Greg Bryant, and if anyone embodies the human sound in their music, it's definitely in tenor saxophonist Houston Person. We're going to talk to Mr. Person today on this episode of Let Me Tell You About It from WBGO Studios. Welcome back to Let Me Tell You About It, our podcast at WBGO devoted to conversations with musicians about the human condition and the artistry that they impart to the world. Although we may never be able to fully give definition to the concept of soul, when I hear the music of someone like Houston Person, I get the message right away. Since he hit the national recording and touring circuit in the early 1960s with organist Johnny Hammond Smith, saxophonist Houston Person has become a fan favorite immediately. He has a very direct sound on the tenor saxophone. Houston Person is a self-made man, and the control that he has exerted over his career has served him well. I am waiting, for one, for the NEA to give him the nation's highest honor for improvisational musicians, the Jazz Masters Award. Not only is he a fan favorite, but he continues to inspire young musicians coming up in his wake, coming up in his shadow after him. He's got a declaration of the blues in his sound that speaks to his South Carolina roots and his New York sophistication. Here's our chat with Houston Person. Hope you enjoy it, and we'll be back to make some special recommendations about some classic and current Houston Person music.
I think about those times and those records that you made, just lessons in groove. You know, whether you're swinging or whether you're playing the backbeat, you guys always were just committed to those rhythms. And I'm thinking about, you know, what was happening at the time with, you know, Motown and kind of early funk coming in, you know?
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you this specifically. Number one, how did you decide what tunes that you wanted to bring in besides the regular jazz, you know, canon?
Oh, well, I always have been that way. Even when I couldn't play, I was still searching for those tunes and something that would link me with the audience. Yeah, I've always been an audience guy. So I believe in bringing the audience along and enticing them to inspire me to take it further. And things that could relate. I've done that throughout my career.
Would it be simple as like turning on the radio and just, oh man, I like that song, or hey, my little cousin told me they like this, or how do you?
No, you know, it's just when you listen to what's going on around you, and I try to keep up with what's going on around me, what everybody's doing, what other people are doing, and that's where I get a lot of it from the street. You know, I can see what, especially where my community is, and I've tried to keep that link. And sometimes originals do it, and sometimes, you know, songs that we're all familiar with. And maybe I can add something on to make it a little better or play it more in a vein that they would like it. Mm-hmm. So, I do a lot of that. I like researching and finding new stuff and old stuff. And I dedicate myself to playing a lot of the old R&B songs that people don't know that are really great tunes that they're just lying there. Especially younger people don't never heard them.
Right. I do want to ask about a few players during that era that you worked with. They were either on your albums or you were a sideman with them. A couple of names I want to throw out. One of my very favorites, actually, Grant Green, the guitar player.
Yeah.
I know he played on Eastbound album, Live at Mozambique.
That's right.
And you played on an album that's just come out maybe 10 years or so ago. He had a gig, I think, at Mozambique.
He came there after I did.
Mm-hmm. 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 How was it playing with Grant? Did you get to hang with him much? Or?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Grant and I, yeah. We did quite a few
person
albums.
Person to Person, yeah. Your record. And
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm on some more stuff on Prestige. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, throughout the years, every label I've been with mm-hmm. has let me do what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So I've really been blessed that way. Nobody's ever told me what to do.
That's great. That's great.
So I've been responsible for my own career mm-hmm. since I started. Mm-hmm. With Bob Porter, you'd ask about him. He helped me a lot because he came to Prestige after Cal Lampley. So he produced some of my albums and we had a great relationship. And he kept me busy. Me and Melvin Sparks, Leon Spencer.
Wow. Wow.
Don Patterson. We had, all of us had a... And Bob had a vast knowledge of R&B music, so he and I, we just clicked.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I can truly say we were friends.
So what was it about playing for the African-American audience? Did they respond differently? Did they ask for different tunes? Did you have to come a different way with your band?
No, you just better be right. That's all. I used to call that my exam room.
Okay.
And I check what I'm doing out when I'm playing at Key Club or Cadillac, and you bring it a different way, because you know, yeah, those clubs, and there was a circuit of those clubs.
Tell me about that.
Yeah. Well, the Key Club and Cadillac, you say. Well, there was another club, two other clubs. One in East Orange. I can't remember the name now. Rhoda Scott played there a lot.
Okay.
And then there was the Front Room during that period. And the Front Room was primarily an organ and piano room. So that's where I met Roland Kirk.
Wow.
At the Front Room.
Wow.
Well, he's Jersey. Everybody was Jersey then. Jersey was the thing. It was just Newark was a swinging town. When bands came off the road, they would come to Newark. It was nice. It was nice.
That's great.
Yeah. And they had a lot of gospel music there.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. A lot of churches.
Mm-hmm.
But there weren't too many blues acts. It was just
interesting.
Straight jazz.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting to think about. When you started going out as a leader on your own, were you finding these neighborhood places, you know, here along the Eastern Seaboard yourself? Did you go with an agency? Like, how did you, like, expand your reach originally when you got on the road under your own name?
I did everything myself.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
I did everything.
Wow. So how would you go around? I mean, I'm thinking, you know, there's no internet, you know, you have to go, you know where the places are. Like, how did you find it?
It's hard work. Sure. I did all kind of stuff. I had a mailing list before people even thought about mailing lists. I would have where you fill out your card, your address, and your birthday. I'd send you a birthday card. Any little thing to put you, give you an edge, the same as any business. I mean, it's still being done today, same way. That's what you do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so I had some agents would call me asking for clubs for their artists, because I used to get all, when I worked there with other groups, I just carried myself in a way that owners watch. And I knew all the waiters and waitresses, and just treat people right. And when a name comes, well, we need a band, your name would pop up, you know. And then you just keep building and building. And the first thing you know, you're there. Then when you get there, you realize that you're not there. There's another hill to climb.
Wow, wow.
You know.
Wow.
But it's been fun. I've enjoyed it, and it's been fair. That's all you can ask.
Hey folks, we know you're enjoying this episode, but right here we want to break in to let you know that efforts like this are made possible by member support. That's right, WBGO is a member-supported station. We are not a subscription service. We exist for you because of your dollars. Your dollars and cents help to drive us year after year. You are our lifeblood. So right now, if you can, we want you to go to the website, wbgo.org/support. Tell them the Watchman, Greg Bryant, sent you. But go there and securely give your tax-deductible contribution to ensure that WBGO Studios podcasts, that WBGO On the Air remains in your ears. It's just that simple. No us without you folks. We thank you for your support. Again, wbgo.org/support. Give securely online. Thank you so much. Back to the show.
It would be remiss if I didn't ask you about Etta Jones and just the brilliant talent that she was.
As I was booking, sometimes people ask me, would I bring a vocalist? Because, you know, Etta and I played on some jam sessions together, and I met her. And we got along fine. So I carried her, took her on a few jobs with me, just every now and then. And then one day I worked a job and I didn't take her. And she called me and asked me, said, why didn't you take me? I said, well, they didn't ask for a vocalist, so I didn't, you know. She said, well, I want to go on all of them. I said, okay, well, you got it.
Nice.
So from then on, from that day on, everything I did, I took her with me, regardless. And then eventually, I just, through my mailing and all that, I just changed the name of the group to put both of our names on there when I was sure. And then, because I would encourage her to try to encourage her to leave, and she said, nah, never. So she stayed there 30 years until she died.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because all the vocalists used to tease her, you know. They said, if you give this job up, you crazy. Ernestine Anderson used to tell her, you just leave. I'll be right in there.
Yeah.
He said, you don't have to do anything. He picks you up. He takes you to the gig. He brings you home. And I made it very comfortable for her. She didn't have to worry about anything. And I tried to treat all the band members that way. So I did it all. I did the driving, I did the PR work, I did everything.
That's amazing, Mr. Person.
But as I went on, it got easier and easier. And, you know, because musicians used to tell me, if they had to do it over again, they would have done it the way I did it. Because a lot of them went through almost a whole career and didn't know anybody in the business, you know. So you got to know people and know when things change, there are new openings or closings. It just should be a part of your business.
Live in Paris, Ben Patterson, a brilliant young organist and pianist.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Bernstein, just one of the best to ever play a guitar. Willie Jones, one of the swinginest, groovinest drummers. This was live in Paris. How did you guys figure out how to get the Newark vibe in Paris? This sounds like some key club stuff, man.
That's right. That's right. That's what it is. Not so formal. Just transfer that to the concert stage.
Wow. Wow.
And that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
A party.
That's what it sounds like. This is so good.
And I didn't change anything. Everything is there. It's all there.
Yes, it is.
And I was thinking the other day, boy, the drums are so important. I was looking, you know, that's the basis of all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's all there.
It sure is. It sure is.
And
Go ahead.
What it is, too, is everybody plays so well. These guys play so well. I wanted somebody to hear it, you know. And it's spontaneity, and they left it all.
They sure did.
Yeah.
And you did, too. And you did. I'm not just saying this because you're sitting here.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. It's really comforting, too, I think about in these times where, you know, the past 18 months, we've been at home mostly. Musicians have not been on stages. We've been encouraged to stay inside, and we're just now starting to work out of that. But when I've reflected about how I've felt and watched how others have, you know, moved or not moved, sometimes you don't feel like playing. Sometimes you don't feel like composing or don't feel like writing. But familiar tunes, to me, have taken on an even greater significance.
Yeah.
A greater comfort.
Yeah, right.
During this time.
You're right about that. Hey, that's a good observation. Because I thought the same way.
Hmm. Hmm.
In fact, because we have a song, The Way We Were.
Yes, sir.
And that evokes that kind of feeling.
I believe Houston Person should be NEA Jazz Master, Houston Person. And I know you don't play music for awards, but I feel like it's overdue.
I just want to keep doing what I'm doing. What I like is evolving naturally. I don't force anything, you know. And I will accept challenges from other people that I work with. But as far as, I guess I'm not a push the envelope guy until I'm playing, if I'm so inspired to do so. And sometimes, you know, but I just want to play good music. And make people happy. So after everybody messes them up, then they can come to me and I'll soothe them out.
I like that. I like that. I like that. This has been awesome. Thank you so much, my brother.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is great.
Breakfast next time.
Yeah, we'll get the breakfast on. Absolutely.
Yeah. What a guy. Houston Person on Let Me Tell You About It from WBGO Studios. Be sure to check out his latest recording, doing amazingly at jazz radio all over the country. It's called Live in Paris with Ben Patterson, Peter Bernstein, and Willie Jones on the High Note label, Houston Persons Special Quartet. Right now, though, we've got some more recommendations of some classic Houston Person material. So why don't we drop the needle on the record right here? Welcome back to The Vinyl Word, folks, where we are building record collections one LP at a time from the Houston Person Classic Catalog, starting with this one that we're listening to now from 1968, Houston Person's Blue Odyssey album. Blue Odyssey was recorded for Prestige Records, and it includes a killer cast of Cedar Walton, Houston's army buddy, here on piano in one of their first recorded collaborations. Bob Crenshaw is the bassist here. Frank Jones, a lesser known name, but a super grooving and super swinging drummer. You can hear an early version of Cedar Walton's classic Holy Land on this album, but we're focusing right here on the title track, also penned by Cedar Walton, Blue Odyssey. Man, it's a groove. Another gem from that same year, also on Prestige Records, is the Houston Person Quartet album Soul Dance. It's a keeper, straight in the pocket. Billy Gardner at the organ, the guitar of Boogaloo Joe Jones, also a Prestige Records recording artist, and drummer Frankie Jones is back. Check out this super soul hipness here. It's called Soul Dance. After Houston left Prestige Records in the middle 1970s with Bob Porter, he recorded two or three albums on the Eastbound label out of Detroit. One of these recordings was made on location at Club Mozambique. That was a room that hosted live improvisational music from the likes of Dr. Lonnie Smith, who also recorded there for Blue Note, as well as Grant Green. It's almost like a party with tape rolling. It just has that jubilant feeling throughout this whole album. Houston Person's The Real Thing from 1973, live at Club Mozambique in Detroit. Here's a tune from it called Pain. One more Houston Person album for you before we wrap it up. Houston Person's Wildflower from 1977 on the Muse label. This one also produced by Bob Porter. This is a tune called Preachin' and Teachin'. Sonny Phillips wrote this one. He plays organ and Rhodes on this one. Jimmy Ponder on guitar. Idris Muhammad is back on drums. Bill Hardman plays trumpet on certain cuts. Houston Person here on Preaching and Teaching from Wildflower. Check it out. So today on The Vinyl Word, a Houston Person starter pack, if you will, of vintage releases. Blue Odyssey from 1968, Soul Dance from the same year, The Real Thing on Eastbound Records from 1973, and Wildflower from Muse Records, 1977. Classic Stacks of Wax from Houston Person today on The Vinyl Word. Thank you for checking us out again here on Let Me Tell You About It. Be sure to subscribe to us if you haven't already and leave us a great review. It helps with visibility and the like on the different podcast apps and outlets, if you will. If you want to reach out to me directly, you can do that via Instagram or on Twitter. My handle on both is GB_Watchmen. That's GB_Watchmen. Let Me Tell You About It is co-produced by yours truly, Greg Bryant, and WBGO's Billy Robinson. Our theme song and interstitial music is composed by No Stress. Find out more about No Stress at no-stress.me. This is Let Me Tell You About It. Make sure to check out our other shows at wbgo.org/studios. And we'll see you again really soon next time. Take care.
This has been a WBGO Studios production. To learn more about WBGO Studios' award-winning podcasts, special concerts, live streams, and more, visit wbgo.org/studios.